Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business. Hey there, Bill.
Hey, I was listening to our music because I usually listen to you delivering the intro.
Yeah.
What do you term that kind of music? What would you call it?
When I chose the music, it was almost like a rockabilly kind of country hillbilly rock style.
Yeah, and there's some really good stuff in there. I feel like you're just chatting over some of the really good licks in that song.
Listen, I can just play the song for you if you'd like to, anytime you want to. I use it for all kinds of things.
I like the song. I enjoy it. But I got to tell you, because I always listen to what you're saying, I've never just listen to the music.
There's slide guitar.
I know.
There's all kinds of great acoustic and electric stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty big fan.
Yep.
Pretty big fan.
So one of your buddies is with us today.
Yeah. Somebody who unfortunately has the burden of living with us on a daily basis.
Oh, bless her heart.
She has to live on the other side of this mirror, even as we record podcasts with other guests, even though she's not been on in several months. So we get to bring in our one and only Trish Murphy.
Welcome, Trish.
Welcome. Thank you.
You know, we see you every day, but we don't really get a chance to sit down and just do that. I mean, we talk about the work you're doing for us and kind of the work you're doing for other people sometimes.
And she's brought in multiple guests for us to be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I mean, heck.
Yeah, she's a great connector of people.
Tim Anderson is part of her with My Health Matrix, and who's now a big part of our sphere here at Hole in the Wall. Stu, obviously, with Favob. Maria with Kamari Foundation, and just scads more who've been here thanks to Trish. Those who don't know who Trish is the owner of Marketing Smarty Pants, an incredible marketing firm. She's also our chief marketing officer for Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair and Hole in the Wall Franchising.
And she does an absolutely terrific job.
Fabulous job, and she's taking care of our new franchisees as well, and just a wealth of information, and has helped us grow our brand now for 4, 5, 6 years now.
Has it been that long already?
It's been several years. So
yeah, it has. Thanks for having
me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like coming here because I get an applause.
anytime you want, we're here.
Nice.
Can you need a little pick me up? Need a little James. I'm
need feeling a little sad. I need a crowd applause.
Well, when we started with Trish several years ago, I even forgot now. I met her through our BNI, business networking group. And she, made a comment once, in passing that, I would like to help grow that brand.
I want to build that brand, is what she said. I'd like to help build that brand.
And we didn't have a big marketing budget. We don't know how we can afford anybody at all. So we took a meeting just to see what was out there. And all you did was say, give me a shot. And you charged us some piddly amount, and let's just see what we can do. And the rest was history. And mm-hmm. we quickly promoted you to something better than that. And so it's kind of fun to kind of see the evolution of where we came from to where we are now. Because now you're part of our tour. As we give people tours through our facility, you know, Bill just did one the other day. We sold a truck and a guy wanted to see the facility and, you know, mm-hmm. and then, well, there's our marketing team right there and just pointed to you through the window. So you're now part of this. I know you own Marketing Smarty Pants, but I'm claiming you as my own.
Perfect. No, it's a really wonderful ecosystem, and it's something you can't force and make happen, right? It just evolves and mm-hmm. becomes something when the opportunity provides and where relationships just click. So I feel blessed. Yeah. And it's
better. I think we feel the same way.
Okay. Yeah, not bad. You're okay.
Cool. So you sound like my kids. Yeah, she's all right.
You're all right. Your team's okay.
She's all right.
We'll feed you lunch today if you want. Okay. So listen, let's just, for those who haven't caught up on, you know, obviously you help us run the Off the Wall podcast we pull off every few months. And then you help us, obviously, you've been on the show a few times. But for those who are listening for the first time, meeting you or hearing you for the first time, what are some of the things that you're doing for us, and then we'll dig into what some low-hanging fruit for small business people can do before we get into the new stuff.
So for you guys, we do anything, you know, we help you develop your strategy, which is a pretty big deal, and a lot of businesses don't even have a marketing strategy. I don't even think they know how to tackle that. And then we, with you, develop a plan on how to execute that. You know, what's that look like? You know, what's your budget? We talk through that, like what's available. That's a big deciding factor, right? Bill likes to say, hey, you can't do it, you know, try to do it for dollars, not thousands of dollars, right? Yeah. So that's, I won't say it's a limiting factor, but it's a factor, right? You had to keep that into consideration. We could blow you out of the water for like a really big budget, but you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. So that dictates the tactics that we can use, right? So is it more, you know, dollar amount like advertising, or is it more actions, right? Are we doing engagement on social media, or are we, you know, finding some free platforms where it's just our time as opposed to, you know, big ticket dollars and things like that. So, and all of those are the same, you know, same challenges that every small business, well, I'll correct myself. Every business faced that, right? Regardless of whether you're a small business or a big business, they face the same challenges. It's just at a different level.
Right. And we obviously started with some of the kind of more organic-y things, because those organic things really don't have a lot of cost. And so if you have the time to do more engagement, I go to a lot of Facebook pages, and their stuff is fairly bland. Like it's a meme, or it's nothing with substance. And so that was one of the challenges I gave to you, is like, I don't want to be just a hey, Happy New Year's, you know, post, you know, here's the newest sale item.
You hit it too. They really do feel almost soulless.
Yeah.
You know, and at our house, we have a term. I have a son who plays piano, and once in a while he'll play something he's just learning, but it feels really clunky, boxy. And we'll say, okay, I can tell what it is, like a paint by numbers, but there's no artistry there.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's funny because I see people who are trying to do it. And listen, if you are trying to do your own stuff, do it, but do it with some panache, right? Do it. Make sure you're not just at the logo, but you know the faces behind the brand.
Yeah, don't do the paint by numbers because you can spot it from a block away. And people are sophisticated enough now and have seen social media long enough to go, somebody's paying somebody just to do a hit on there once or twice a week.
Right. Which is our challenge with the franchisees, where, you know, we were providing them with content for social media, but it's going to be on the local business, hole in the wall business, to add that personal touch, add pictures of their technicians, add some before and after pictures that are from their, you know, from their jobs, add maybe testimonials and reviews from their stuff. And so that's the encouragement. So if you're not really into that, you know, now's the time to kind of get comfortable with that.
Yeah. So a couple things to say about social media. You know, in marketing in general for small businesses, you know, DIY it as long as you can. Don't apologize for that, right? There's nothing wrong. We all did it. I encourage you to DIY as long as you can. And then on the other side, most folks underestimate the amount of energy and time that goes into social media specifically. It's a very dynamic platform. It's a very dynamic marketing channel. It's every day. It's all the time. It's ongoing. You could be anywhere. It can be exhausting, right? Me and my team, we have days where I don't touch my phone some days because I'm just tired of being on social media, right? Even on my personal post, sometimes I realize, oh my gosh, I've not posted anything on my personal profile in 2 weeks, but I've been on social media all the stinking time, but I'm not on there for me most of the time, right? So, you know, a couple things to keep in mind, my little rant, right? It's okay to don't apologize for DIY, not a problem with that. It's okay to do it, actually do it for a while, as long as you can. And then it's okay to hand it off. And then, you know, it is a time suck. And that tends to be the thing that takes the most energy, time. And folks are really tend to be surprised at how much it actually is required.
I think part of the DIY experience that you get is an appreciation for how much time it takes and how difficult it is and how persistent you have to be with it. So that when you do hand it off to somebody, you can appreciate the effort they're putting in.
Oh, absolutely. And I love when I get those DIY clients, right? When they've come to me, they've built their business, they've been DIY for a long time, and they're like, I'm just ready to hand this social media piece off. And they love us because they know how much energy and time goes into creating that. the content and the engagement. I even have clients who are like, can you just do the content side for me? Like, I can do the engagement. It's like 10 minutes a day, not a problem. I just can't do both. It just is sucking my time, right? And and they find they get to a place where they've lost creativity, right? So we love DIYers. Those are fantastic. When they're ready, they hand it off. So,
you know, I like that. We're to the point now where we've got technicians in the field, and that they're able to take pictures, and we're able to do events and stuff. And so sometimes your team would come up with a great post, but that great post came from a video I sent, you know, or a picture, before and after picture. So even being able to hand off, this will be kind of funny. And all I have to do is email it to your team, and then somewhere in the next month or two, they've creatively put something together that I would never be able to think of in my
Yeah, and brain. In the meantime, you can hand it off and go run your business.
Yeah. It's just I'm just going to do that quick brain dump on the team, and then I can run around and do something else. And you guys come up with some great things. And so that's kind of like, to me, the next evolution of, if you're going to do DIY, which I think you should, I mean, we did for several years. And then when we engaged somebody before you, they just did little minor things, being able to just like do, you know, holiday posts and just, you know, things like that. When the hurricane came, they would say, don't forget to get your supplies, you know, all good stuff, just not the personality of who we are.
Right.
And so when you came on board, we were able to kind of just mold that part of that brand of who we are is built on this engagement. So
absolutely. And, you know, kudos to your team, because they do a really good job of getting those fantastic before and after photos. Right. So those are fantastic. And then you got a handful of folks on your team who are really great at getting these, these videos, right? The time lapse and things like that. So they're so we're working together as a team to develop these behind the scenes content is, it's invaluable, right? And so there are challenges that come with that, right? You have to put into place, you know, processes, and it takes. And it's not just as easy as, oh, send me a video. Okay, how do I send you that video?
Yeah.
Do I send it to you on WhatsApp? How do you get it to my team? Where does my team put it? Where, you know, it's a lot of coordination. But at least at where you guys were at, right, it was worth putting the energy into doing that. But that was an evolution. We didn't come out of the gate doing that, right? It was mm-hmm. it was an evolution.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. true.
So if you're just kind of starting from scratch, some of the basics that you need to make sure you're working on early in the game, whether you've started a business or you're just at the infancy of your business, or maybe you're in a business for a while, but you really want to give it that extra oomph, what are some of the quick, you know, assumptions that you need to have ready before you move on to some of these next things?
So I like that we've talked about social media a bit, because I'm kind of in that field a lot. So always be thinking about your client, right? ABC, always be thinking about your client. And that's an evolution too, right? The more you know them, the more you understand them, the more that you can talk in a way that they can connect with, the better off. So like, it's why I love this whole theme that we did with you guys about the good and bad, right? Karate's good. The hole in your wall is not so good, right? When you take little Sally to the karate lessons, but you know, she's practicing at home and kicks a hole in the wall, that's not good, right? So this whole theme, it's funny. And people can relate to it, and we've gotten a lot of success out of that. So that's an example of finding a way to connect.
Donut
with them.
Hole? Good.
Hole in the wall. Bad. So, you know, everything starts there regardless of where you're at in your social media. And the next thing I would say, the more behind the scenes you can do, because people are nosy, nothing wrong with that, right? So play into the human nature. We're curious creatures, and we listen, let's be honest. I will sit there on reels and shorts and watch somebody else's life unwinding from my own life all day long, right? Mm-hmm. We know you do it, so don't pretend like you don't. I saw you. And so capitalize on that, right? The things that do the best are just the photos that you took with your phone or the behind the scenes video. People are very curious. So peel back the curtain and let them behind the scenes of what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, if you're going to do this with a customer, do you find it easier to start from scratch with somebody? Or if you have to unwind some of the stuff they've done, does that pose a problem, or does that stuff just kind of evaporate into the ether and then you move forward from where you are?
So we don't have a problem doing either one, right? There's a different strategy if somebody's starting from scratch, right? Like, so we started Bonnie's stuff from scratch. So we took a very different approach. Well, not even very different, but fortunately she had the time and money to put into some videos. And so we used that in some professional photos of herself, right? Because her brand is her. And that was part of the strategy. So we had some really good collateral to start with. And so we jump started her page with that and got tremendous engagement and responses. So that's how we seeded it, right? And then if we take over somebody who's, you know, already going down the path, we never undo anything that somebody did. We'll just, it's because marketing and branding is a evolution of improvement, right? So we just take them on this path.
Well, I like that term, evolution of improvement. That's right. Really good.
So we just start down that path of improving the content of what they've already got going on.
In the end, and what's funny is that we don't even notice some of the things you do, but I noticed it. And I want to tell you why. Because we were just looking at the new campaign that we're running for right now. And I noticed that all of the colors in the background, I noticed that all the framing, everything fit our brand standard that we've developed. Our color scheme, our font usage, all the colors. So obviously, you can't just throw something random. You want a consistent look. You want a look that's consistent with your brand. And if you're going to do it by yourself, make sure you're doing something that's consistent so it's not some willy-nilly. If you look at my post, if you go back and look at our posts on social media, there's a little consistency in every single post because they all meet and fit in within our brand guidelines.
Right. And we're not super rigid with your brand. And we've done a lot of testing and playing with things over the years. You know, that's how I mentioned, you know, your brand's gone through an evolution as well. But two things that you can keep consistent. So this is a super easy tip, right? Color and font, right? Now I will add that some brands only have like two basic fonts in their brand guide. That gets super boring when it comes to, social media posts. And so sometimes you'll need a different category.
Yeah, I can see where that's limited.
So like if you don't have a script font and you only have sans or sans serif, you know, you need to define a font for social media only, right? That goes with your two or three primary fonts. So that's another way to kind of make it a little bit more dynamic and attractive. So don't be afraid to add in a font specifically for your social media, but A, define what it is, write it down, make sure, you know, some brands even have specifically a social media brand guide that accompanies their major brand guide. And it's, you know, specifically about how your brand is represented on social media. What do you say? What's your tone? What you do, what you don't do. It's very important writing that sort of stuff down.
Yeah. And so unfortunately, as part of business, there are people that will leave you good reviews, which is unfortunate, and then people that will leave you some bad comments. And so as we're engaging in branching out in the franchises, it's important that we are monitoring from a brand sake that the people in other locations are happy with our team, right? But how important is the engagement in those reviews and those responses to the reviews that people are leaving online, whether it's Google or social media or whatever? Because I see some people that don't respond at all in a review, just they just let it ride and said.
Right. So they're all a little bit different. So Google loves it. They love it when you have engagement on your profile. They like it when you're active on your profile. They like it when you post on a regular basis. You have to go crazy and you don't have to post on your profile necessarily as frequently as you do on Facebook, but you test it, right? See what happens. I would say, hey, test your frequency, do it 3 times a week and then drop down to 1, see what happens. Look at your stats, you know, go from there. But Google specifically likes it when you respond to comments on there. So they really like that. The challenge with Facebook reviews is you can get a lot of spam on your Facebook reviews. And I know brands who have completely taken that ability away to review because you just spam, right? Especially this Bitcoin, you know, junk.
Yeah.
So it just depends. You know, I have mixed feelings about it on that one. So don't be afraid to just go ahead and take reviews completely off of your page. And if you don't know how to do that, hit me up. I'll show you how to do it. So, you know, but with like even you last week with your page, we had someone left a review and a comment on a post like, hey, Hole in the Wall did this. They were great. We really appreciated it. They probably left a Google review as well, but for them, they just made a really nice comment. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, I mean, that's gold, right? So engagement on posts in social media is gold. But you know, definitely respond to those Google profiles. reviews. It's an investment in time. It makes a big difference. People like it. You know, they get a notice that you responded. They're like, oh, thanks. You know, it's that touch point, right? You had a customer take the time out of their day to say nice things about your company. Reward that. That's a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And then really in retrospect, or in addition to, like last week, we got a one-star review, the first one-star review we've had in a long time. And so I saw it. I'm like, well, what is this one-star review? Who is this client? Why can't we make them happy? And then we realized that it was a client that over a year ago we gave an estimate to, and they had an issue with water damage. And then when we were there, it was just after the water incursion had happened. They then fought the insurance company, took our estimate, wanted to fight the insurance company. They want us to remove entire walls. Insurance company says, you don't need to move the whole walls, just remove the portion at the bottom of the floor. Big battle ensues. A year, year and 3 months later, they have mold in their home, and they called us up demanding that we replace all their drywall because they have mold in their home, and it was going to be on us to do it for free. And so obviously we said, unfortunately, we're not able to do that. We didn't even do any work for you. Then that person went on Google and left a one-star review saying we have poor work quality. So obviously I know people look at reviews. I look at them like the Olympics. I always remove the top score and the bottom score and I look at the middle, right? So if someone's got a, you know, five-star review, I'm going, you're not real. Maybe you're paying people to give you five-star reviews. So I don't mind occasionally a one-star review, but I'm not going to let a one-star review go without at least addressing it on a comment, because Google won't let you to remove those.
Right, right.
They don't let you.
Bogus. Even if it's totally bogus, they won't do it.
Well, fortunately, we've actually had comments from customers that go, we know the public too, and X amount of people are just soreheads. You don't even do work for them like this guy. We didn't even do any work for him.
Yeah.
We got a one-star review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year after we had any contact with him.
Somebody
looking for a fight.
A couple of years ago, Colonial Florist actually got a couple of one-star reviews. I'm like, what is going on? And we did some research, realized those people were not even customers, right? Then we went and researched the person and found out that they worked at a competing florist. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. No, why do you need to do that?
Yeah. But even the one star deserves some sort of comment.
Yeah. Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, a record show, we never even served you. And secondly, we see that you work at another florist.
Yeah.
Little suspect. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice little thing to add there. We notice you work at a competing florist.
Yeah. I mean, your customer base is smart, right? Never underestimate their intelligence, right? They're smart. Right?
Yes.
They get it figured out. So don't insult them. And then they figure that stuff out pretty quick, right? They're out in society. They get it.
Mm-hmm. Want to become a business owner, but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams. So
what's next? What's some of this other things that small businesses can do? What's on the horizon for us even?
That's a great question. So I get this question a lot, and I dub it, what's next for my marketing, right? Like, what do I need to do next? And we've been faced with this same scenario a handful of times, which is why I think it's important that we talk about it. And so often, there's a stage that business owners find themselves at, and they will ask themselves, okay, I did a bunch of stuff in marketing. I'm kind of coasting, which is not a bad thing. And then they're like, okay, what's next? I feel like I have all these plates are spinning. I have all these plates under control, or at least I feel like I have. So what's next? So what do you add? Like, what's the process you go through when you are faced with what's next in my marketing? So that's a whole like target audience for me as a business. I know that each business gets to that point. And so that's a demographic for me. So I can, you know, going down a rabbit trail, I can create a whole series of content that speaks specifically to business owners who are in that situation, right? I will say if for a business owner that A, doesn't have a consultant or doesn't have someone on staff, like you guys are, you know, have someone that you can talk to on, you know, pretty regularly.
Right.
This is a great opportunity to look for a consultant, right? And it doesn't mean that you would hire somebody for a long period of time. You know, maybe you hire somebody for a few hours, but you want to make sure you hire somebody who's going to give you good advice. So that's a hurdle, right? But once you find somebody that you feel like has the knowledge base and the philosophy that aligns with you, don't be afraid to throw some dollars behind that, because they'll put you in the right direction and they'll save you a lot of time and a lot of money and save you from making some mistakes, right? So here's what I would say. That process really should look like, hey, go back and reevaluate everything that you have in place, right? Revisit, you know, my website. Like we redid yours, right?
Yeah.
That was timely, right? That was a strategic decision,
right?
So it was time to do that, and that was all in preparation for the franchising. And that was a long trigger pull. It took us some time. So go back and look at what you're already doing and evaluate what's already in place. What's working, what's not working. And then where are there any areas that we can improve upon? So a website, evaluate your brand and ask yourself this. Does this brand reflect where we're going, who we want to be, right? And so that's a very important question to ask yourself. And we've done that. You guys have done that for yourselves. I think you kind of did that before I even showed up with the trucks, and Andy helped you guys with that. But then we took what we really loved about what Andy did with the trucks, and then we translated that across all of your marketing, right? So that was a part of the improving the brand to look like what you want to become. And that's the go-to drywall repair.
Yeah, so it's
company.
Consistent.
Yeah, exactly. So the branding is another big piece to take a look at. Your social media, right? What's working? What's not working? Is there opportunity to improve upon? And is that the right area to put energy in? So you kind of take a look at all of that stuff. Keep in mind, all of this starts with your strategy. So I kind of got ahead of myself. I should have started there, right? Evaluate what your strategy is for your marketing. So, and I'll use you guys for an example. We've talked about this before, but you're not quite ready, I don't think, to do that. Is like one potential strategy for you guys, maybe later this year, is getting more trade service partners, right? So that's a strategy. That's a different clientele for you guys, you know, Tony the Tradesman. So what would be some specific tactics that you could execute that would, you know, accomplish, you know, get your strategy accomplished? So that's an example of, hey, make sure you know what your strategy is. If you don't have one, that's definitely, I would say, put some money into figuring that out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you kind of have a strategy. We assume you have a website. We assume you have your Facebook. So take a look at all these plates that you're spinning. One thing that gets overlooked often is ask yourself, am I doing any email marketing, right? And it doesn't have to be the spammy email marketing that we get from, you know, T-shirt companies and sunglass companies and things like that. So that's a low-hanging fruit to keep in mind, because a lot of businesses don't. And this goes back to a very basic philosophy in marketing, and that is, you know, and I get this from the book, The Duct Tape Marketing. It was one of my favorite books. So they talk about people go through this process, right, when they do business with you. So people who they know, like, trust, buy, or try, buy, refer, repeat, right? Or repeat, refer. So there's all these different buckets. People will do business with you if they know you, like you, trust you, right? And so email marketing helps you touch the people who know you, like you, trust you, have bought from you, right? So most businesses don't even maintain a relationship with the people who have bought from them. And that's where your next client is. That's where your next dollar is. That's where your next referral is.
Right.
So always have a plan and a strategy in place to maintain a relationship with the people who already know you, like you, trust you, and have bought from you. That's a very easy space. And it's often very overlooked.
I have a hard time with this. I know.
I mean,
we've talked about this before, but only because I hate junk mail in my email, in my inbox. I have a hard time with the little red, you know, dot that I've got new mail. And so I'm monitoring, you know, a dozen inboxes.
You have trouble with my red dot.
I have, yeah. if I look at Bill's phone.
He doesn't have enough. He goes to the neighbors and looks for some more.
I have to stop looking at my wife's and my partner's phone. Because I don't like it, I don't want to do it.
Right.
But the reality is I'm missing an entire low-hanging fruit style, very inexpensive style communication technique that everyone's using. And don't do it.
There's 380 of them.
I'm not going to look at your phone. My eyes twitching just hearing those words. If I have four, I'm upset. But being able to send, because there are people that I subscribe to or that I get emails from. I just delete until I'm looking for that item, right? And then I wait for their next email.
Right.
You know, if I'm waiting for that next sale on an item, and then I'll wait and see what kind of that sales code is, or I'll wait and see what the newest thing is. So I'm guilty of being kind of two-faced in this because I hate it, but I love it all at the same time. But this goes into the category, like we buy things like tchotchkes and giveaways and promo items. I only buy items that I would use. So I don't like koozies. I don't like, you know, beer can koozies. For some reason, I've got a drawer full of them. So does everybody else. They're, to me, a wasted item, which is why we went to our
slap koozie,
because it's something that's unique. But, you know, I don't buy post-it notes. I don't buy a lot of these things because I wouldn't use them. But as you have the marketing dollars, I need to get out of my own way, basically. Yeah.
So I want to speak to that. Some business owners will often make decisions about their marketing based on what they like. So it's not always a bad idea, but I will caution, you are not your client. Right? You are often not your target audience, right? So you got to be very aware of that when you're making these decisions. So what works for you and what speaks to you may not be the same thing that works and speaks to your client. And to ignore that, right, I think you're making a misstep. So always keep that in mind. But you also said something else. If I'm looking for that, I'm going to open it, right? So, and I'll also loop back to, you called it junk mail. If you're concerned that your emails would be junk mail, don't make it junk mail. Make it so good that people want to open it, right? And if your first step is to make sure that you're sending emails only to the people who know you, like you, trust you, they're going to open the email. Or at the very least, they're not going to be offended by the fact that you emailed them, right? So that's the first hurdle. Don't offend them by emailing. So you're not just adding people in there that don't know you. These are customers, right? These are people who have bought from you. These are trade service partners that you work for on a regular basis that make their business better, right? So of course they're going to open the email. We have some folks who have like a 50% open rate. You know, they don't have gigantic lists, but they have a couple thousand. 50%, that's 1,000 people opened their email.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
That means you're providing value for them.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite tabs on any of those emails is the unsubscribe.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, even if you're sending, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just spitballing here. If I'm sending out emails to my existing customer base, yes, some of them are going to be really open to it. And they go, they got warm and fuzzies about hole in the wall. So they're accepting them. But other people are like, yeah, great. I needed you. I'm done. And if I give them the option to unsubscribe, that feels friendly to me.
Yeah. So that's a really good opportunity for me to throw out a big caution for business owners. Don't wild west this when you're sending emails. There's this thing called a CAN Spam Act, and you can get sued if you are spamming people. Yes. You're probably wondering, well, what about all the stupid spam I get? Yeah. They're breaking the law and you can report them, right? If it's legitimately spam. So you can do that, especially if it gets out of hand. You know, like you were just saying, I've unsubscribed from this one list like 5 times. So report them, right? Because they're not respecting the fact that you've unsubscribed. So use something like MailChimp or MailerLite or, you know, something equivalent to that. And it is a requirement to have an unsubscribe option to folks when you email them for your marketing.
Yeah. What I want to touch on real fast, some of some of the things that I really enjoy that we do are just mini campaigns, you know, just like tiny, you know, it's just part of our brand awareness. Obviously, just to kind of recap, I'm a real big fan of just keeping your brand plate spinning, you know, so even when we are busy, you still want to make sure you're advertising or at least putting some content out, whether that's in a newsletter or an ad in the paper or maybe a mailer in a postcard or emails, but always have that top of the mind marketing and campaign in place. Because if say you're a plumber, I don't need a plumber until I have a water leak.
So you need a plumber.
And now I need to know, well, who do I go to? Well, if I'm already top of the mind, well, I know this plumber because I've seen them use them. I've seen their trucks around. I've seen emails from them. It makes it easier. Even for us, if you don't need drywall repair, but then, and you even forget about us, you can literally say, I don't know who to do drywall. For some reason, you don't know who we are. And you Google drywall repair Orlando, we pop up. And then all of a sudden you have this flash of our truck driving by you in the middle of the day, or you have an ad that popped up on Facebook. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I know those guys. Call, we're top of the
mind. Yeah, the sense is you're legit.
Right.
Right.
So I love having all those brand plates kind of just spinning out there. That's important for our business. But the little mini campaigns that we do that are fun, like we did one a couple years ago, the whodunit campaign. It was a, which dog chewed the hole in the wall? And we did, you know, here's the choice of the two dogs. And we ran this multiple week campaign where we're just doing like this little whodunit with a little spy guy. And it was quite fun. And then we would give out prizes and stuff at the end. It was kind of a neat little mini campaign that we did.
Right, right.
But Bill's gone down this road just in the past week or so where he's questioning our technicians on types of repairs and stuff. And I realized that we do what we call in the business called reseaming. You know, and a reseaming is if you have maybe your roof leaked a little bit and you had a little bit of water in your ceiling, and then all of a sudden you see a little crack in your ceiling.
Yeah, and typically that's the piece of tape that they put between the two sections of drywall to seal it up.
Yeah, where the two drywall pieces meet, there's a seam, and then we seam it with drywall tape. And a lot of times, new constructions, that's done with a paper tape. And so obviously when paper gets wet, it starts to kind of unravel a little bit. And so you could have these, like what we would call a seam pop, or we would need to go and do a reseam. And so I think, well, that'd be a great thing to do. We're coming into the summer season coming up soon, garages are un-air-conditioned in the state of Florida.
Yeah, and about 150 degrees.
It's a million degrees out there. And so we get a lot of ceiling damage in garages in the summer. We've actually had people call because their entire ceiling, because it's humid, the moisture gets absorbed into the drywall, and over 20, 30 years that their house has been built, the ceiling just falls down in the garage. But our customer doesn't know what a seam is, typically. Right. So, but they know what a ceiling crack is.
Yeah,
and so we're able to then say, hey, Trish, we want to do a campaign. And so we want to then focus on people who coming up in the summer months might notice those pesky cracks that they have lived with for years, potentially.
Right.
But this may be the year the garage ceiling falls, or this might be the year that they want to sell their house and go ahead and take care of it now before it's an issue.
Yeah.
And so we have then now tasked our entire crew. We are now on the hunt for more content. The content is we want to see ceiling cracks. We want to see them. We want to see the repairs before and afters. We want to see videos, candid pictures. And so having that little mini campaign, it'll run for a couple months maybe.
Right,
but
right.
It'll just be a smaller, little isolated campaign that we can boost that repair, because that's a need in the community that we're outlining that people can get fixed. And frankly, we make good money at it. It's a real easy job, and it's a satisfying repair for when it's all finished. The homeowner can stop looking at that pesky thing. I look at my house, and I've got multiple cracks in my ceiling. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes the owner doesn't get their house done
that
until
later. Yeah, we were joking. It's almost ceiling falling season. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That
it's
happens
true.
In the yeah. Right? So we could, that's a whole thing we can run with, ceiling falling. Yeah. Like, what's it look like if you're
well, in this time
fall?
Of year in Florida as well, you have the hurricane season coming, which always makes those problems worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it consequently, it coincides with hurricane season.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Humid season and mosquito season.
Yeah. Love bug season, tourist season. So yeah. It's all the same.
So if we don't have, I'm a small business owner and I don't necessarily have someone in, like you in my camp, but I want to analyze my posts, there's tools out there for me, right? What kind of tools are there? And I know I've ignored it, but there's a whole Facebook business page that we're part of
Yeah. So the Metasuite, so the business tools will on the Facebook side, well, they all have analytics, right? So take a look at your analytics and don't have a pigeonholed view. Don't like, ooh, what's happened in the last 2 weeks. And so if you're starting this process of evaluating what's working and what's not working, look back over the last year, take note of the topic, right? The type of, you know, the topic, the content, right? What content's doing well. And then also take a look at stylistically the graphics, right? Maybe it was a really good topic, but the graphic fell short. So it's kind of difficult to know, but pay attention to trends. That's why you want to look back over the last year so that you can identify trends. You know, one thing that always works, just regular photographs of stuff going around. Remember, people are very curious. We're nosy creatures, right? We're like cats, but we don't have nine lives, so be careful. you know, so look at those trends and look at them on all of your different platforms because it's going to be different. We see this all the time. There's content that will do really well on Facebook and in the toilet for Instagram and vice versa. Like it's rare to have a piece of content that does really well on both of those platforms for small businesses, right? And then LinkedIn is its own, you know, guy too. So it has a very different algorithm than the other two major social media platforms. So don't ignore that. And I encourage all businesses to prioritize their social media platforms. So for you guys, Facebook does really, really well. I have other clients where LinkedIn is their priority one. And so we tend to target that, right? We format and their entire strategy is targeted to that one, right? Doesn't mean we don't post on other what it does. It means our priority is to this top, right? So we format and optimize the content for that one. That way because you don't have the budget for us to optimize everything perfectly for each platform. So you don't have to. You just have to hit the one that does the best for you, right? So know that. And I think a lot of businesses don't really think of it that way. But yes, prioritize your platforms. It'll save you some time moving forward. Have a little bit more success. But evaluate what works on all of your platforms and take notes of trends, what's happening on a regular basis.
And you can see all kinds of data on there. Like when we were building our customer avatars, we were able to go back and look at who's engaging with our posts. What is their gender? What is their age? What is their maybe salary, even location where they are, you know, whether or not we like to admit it or not, but social media, Facebook, and they know who we are almost better than we do sometimes. And as a business, we can go back and look at those and we can market to people who we know would want to buy our services.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. And then, you know, last word of caution, don't get too wrapped up into the data. Like it's like when you're driving, you know, you're looking at all of these signals around you. What is this guy doing? What's my speed? What's this? You know, so it's just one more piece of data to make a bigger decision. So don't get hyper-focused on the data, but you want to keep an eye on it. And it will help you tweak areas as you move forward. So, yeah.
Well, I've got people who I see on Facebook and they post a lot and there may be one or two people that engage in that post.
Right.
And I look and kind of go, that's sad because they're wasting all their time because nobody is, it could be 5 minutes or it could be an hour working on a post, but nobody is engaging with it.
Yeah. Right. And so people it can take up to several hours for us to do a post. It just depends. Like I think I logged like 4 hours last week on a post. And it was between the graphics and the content, but it was a big deal because we're launching something new for a client, right? So it had to line up with what we were doing. And it was a collaborative effort. So it was a big deal. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. But anyway, I said that to say that. But here's the tip I can give you. If you have one extra hour to put into social media, do not put it into content. Put it into engagement.
Yeah. And yeah. Engagement, explain. Content is the post.
Yep.
Engagement is?
Is liking, commenting. So in like on Facebook and Instagram, you know, look for topics. So Instagram, you can search by hashtags. And so again, you got to find out what your strategy is. So for example, let's say you have a restaurant, right? You're going to look for hashtags that are like Orlando foodies, right? You want to start engaging on their, on their posts. So I had a brand one time that did cupcakes, right? So we would go to all these foodies and through their posts and we're like, oh, that looks really good. And so one of our things is we would always give them, oh, we give this 2 cupcakes or we give this 3 cupcakes or, you know, so we would just do that. And it, we had eventually all of these foodies started to engage with our posts when we were doing that. So it was kind of fun. We were actually were experimenting with some things doing that. We're like, hey, let's just see what works. And it did. And but it was a lot of fun. Same thing with Facebook is you want to engage with brands that do the same thing you do. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but you want to do it. But then also engage with the people who know you and like you. And then always, always, always engage with the people who commented on your posts. That's really important.
And you're engaging as the business, not as your personal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's good advice. Well, I think that's all the free advice we're going to give for today.
That's right. Anything after this?
That's enough. That's pure gold right there.
That's crazy.
Anything after this, your entire audience is going to get an invoice.
Well, we better end it there. Trish, if someone wants to get a hold of you, if they want to have your insight, your advice, your time, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So you can go to my website. It's a great place to read a little bit more about what we do. And then my email is trish@marketingsmartypants.com. Not too rough.
Marketingsmartypants.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks, Trish, for coming in.
Yep. Thanks for coming. Appreciate
it. Thanks for everyone for listening. It was a great show.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a hole-in-the-wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.